Fan Run Radio podcasters, many of you have been asking for a way to support the station if you live out of state and can't support our sponsors, and now there's a way. Just go to shopfanrun.com and buy a shirt, or two, or ten, and know that you're supporting the station that does our best to support you. Shopfanrun.com.
He can't reproduce! He can't breathe! He's living a bad life! Every time you see Ugga, he's either A, getting pulled around by somebody looking mopey, or B, sitting on an icicle package because he's too fat. If he's not constantly air-conditioned, he'll have a heart attack!
You're listening to Talk Sports.
So every bulldog in the world should be exterminated. You on record with that? Let's kill off all the bulldogs.
If you want to make this a widespread crusade, we can make it. Dog breeding has gone too far. Stop buying from breeders. Adopt a pet today. I am pro pet adoption. Get your pets spayed and neutered. I will carry the fight of Bob Barker.
Airing every day from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Essentially, if your dog is a little bit heavy set, John Reed is volunteering to kill it for you.
Did you know that bulldogs can't have sex by themselves? Did you know that? So if we don't...
It's a tiring task.
If we don't intervene, they will just cease to exist. Nature will take its course.
Here, buddy.
God doesn't want us to have these bulldogs.
You stand by your bulldog holocaust, and I will stay away from it.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
All I'm saying is it's fat, it can't breathe, it can't reproduce.
Should I be exterminated?
Can you reproduce?
You want to throw me in there?
Can you reproduce?
I'm fat and I can't breathe.
Can you reproduce?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll show you.
The bomb. Hour two kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. Hour two headlines. Cody McClure. Collision course happening right about now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The Bears and Raiders are set to play the first NFL game at the new Tottenham Stadium on October 6th. The league announced today the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. You familiar with this? The Bears-Raiders matchup will be the first of four regular season games played in London this year, including two at the newly constructed home of the English Premier League power, Tottenham Hotspur. It is a 62,000-seat stadium in North London.
So that'll be one of the international games. The full NFL schedule comes out tonight. ESPN's doing a two-hour schedule reveal special. If you're a Titans fan, looks like the Titans will be opening the season in Charlotte playing the Carolina Panthers. It might be a game to go to. Game for me to go to. I need to go to Charlotte. Check it out.
The new North London Stadium will host an NFC South matchup the next week on October 13th when the Bucks play the Panthers.
Okay.
So you're thinking about going to see the Panthers, huh?
Well, the Panthers playing the Titans. Week one. That's the rumored week one matchup.
Panthers-Titans.
Yeah, week one in Charlotte.
Yeah.
It might be a good game to go to.
Perhaps. The Trailblazers.
I probably won't go. I just wanted to say I was thinking about it. I probably won't go.
No.
I value my NFL Sundays too much. Just fire up the red zone and let's go.
No need to be there.
I miss having DirecTV. Although the NFL said, hey, we're going to cancel. We might cancel this whole DirecTV having exclusive rights to the Sunday ticket. We're going to let everybody have this.
Would be nice because DirecTV sucks.
I don't have really many issues with DirecTV. They're all right in my books.
I mean, their app is awful.
Well, their app might suck. Go ahead.
The Patriots have bolstered their thin wide receiver core by signing Demaryius Thomas.
That'll do the trick. Let's sign an aging receiver who tore his Achilles.
The team announced the move on Tuesday, less than a week after it had hosted Demaryius Thomas on a free agent visit.
I want to say that's the second time he's tore his Achilles, too.
Is it?
I believe he had an Achilles tear whenever he was in Denver.
Hmm. Well, this is only a one-year contract with a signing bonus of $150,000 and $1.2 million in base salary. Demaryius Thomas used to be really good.
He did. I mean, if he's even 85% of what he once was, I mean, Tom Brady can definitely use him. It's funny, we talked about how they didn't really have any help for Brady, and then they went out and got Demaryius Thomas, who, again, is coming off of an Achilles injury. That seems scary, but I guess it's a low-risk move for the Patriots, and usually those work out for them.
The Columbus Blue Jackets finished off a stunning upset and a sweep of the top-ranked Lightning on Tuesday night in the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Lightning were the number one seed, and they were swept by the Columbus Blue Jackets in the first round. The Lightning tied the NHL record of 62 wins this year, but Tampa Bay then failed to win a single game in the playoffs.
Yeah, one of the all-time collapses. It would have been like if the Golden State Warriors 2 years ago signed Kevin Durant. Actually, I guess it'd be the year before, and they won 73 games and then got swept in the first round. You can depend on prepaid.
That was really loud.
Good thing for them is that most of us don't care about hockey, but it was big enough to get us to pay attention to it, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's weird, but they had such a really good regular season.
They were awesome.
Tied the NHL record in wins. And then just swept. You get yourself swept,
man,
in the playoffs.
Did you see their social media account?
Was it depressed?
Did you see what they tweeted out?
No, I didn't.
It was about as sad as a tweet that you could have from a team issued Twitter account. We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness, everything you're feeling. We get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way.
That is depressing.
It's basically like, look, please stop tweeting about us choking. Like, we sucked.
We understand.
We get it. We are upset about it, too.
It was not a good first round.
We did not appreciate it at all.
Is that worse than Virginia losing to UMBC?
No. No. I don't think so. I mean, granted, it's a full series, and you did get swept. You got beat four straight times, but
at least you lost to a professional playoff team.
Yeah.
Albeit as the number one seed, you didn't lose to a
the gap between the hockey players are a lot closer than the gap between the number one team in the country, level. Virginia, and UMBC.
Especially at a pro level.
But you did get beat four straight times.
Which is tough. That's tough to
including twice at home.
Getting swept like that is rough.
I mean, it's bad. It's one of the worst chokes in professional sports, but the good news is it's hockey.
Anything can happen on the ice.
Well, that plus majority of sports fans aren't hockey fans.
Is that true?
I would say so. I mean, we didn't lead the show with this.
Thought hockey was like the number four sport, maybe. Maybe behind soccer now, I don't know.
We didn't lead the show with this.
It was big news.
If the Warriors
doing a show in Canada, we probably would have.
For sure.
Yeah.
In Tampa Bay, I'd imagine they led the show with it. In Columbus, the team that beat them, I'd imagine that they led the show with it. I just feel like if the Warriors get beat by the Clippers, we'll lead the show with it.
Because we're in the Bay Area.
Well, no, just because it feels like a bigger story.
Be cool if we were in the Bay Area.
Wow. Got Cody Barnes over here wanting to move over to the West Coast.
I mean,
it'd be really cool if they've
been honest about it.
It'd be really cool if they would offer us a job. We'd be out of Knoxville in a heartbeat. But we're here because they can't figure out my buyout or my phone number or how to contact me
or who I am. The Nashville Predators play today, tonight, 8 p.m.
Let's hope it goes well.
Game 4 against the Dallas Stars. You can watch the game on FSSW, FSTN, or USA.
Automat USA.
Yeah.
The USA Network's carrying hockey now?
I don't know. It says USA. Seems weird, though, right?
Maybe the USA Network's carrying hockey this year. Good Preds report by you, Cody.
FSSW, that's the Fox Sports Southwest.
I think.
Fox Sports Tennessee. That's usually where they play.
Good job by you. Great Preds report.
That's a game I'll watch.
It's a huge game. If the Preds can win this, they'll be up 3-1, obviously, with a chance to close out Nashville and avoid a scare. Because game one did not look good, but they have since rallied and obviously won two in a row.
Yes, they have.
You game or headline?
The Thunder lost last night to the Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah.
That game was close for a while.
For a half.
Yeah. It was tied at 54, I believe.
Yep.
I was watching part of it.
The Thunder were up in the second quarter, and then it all fell apart. We can talk about that later. I don't want to go into details with it about it now. I want to talk about it later, but I still kind of want to talk about this Tennessee deal.
Okay.
We still got overrated, underrated, too. You got your topics?
Oh, yeah.
Ben's kind of got his topics, so tweet Ben some topics. Tweet them to me, and I'll give them to Ben. You should just save the good ones from the weeks before. You should just have a database going by now. It's been a year and a half. If you do, then why don't you have your topics ready?
Because I usually wait till you're like, overrated, underrated is up next. And if I don't have it next, then I search the database and start pulling them. But I usually wait for fresh ones until it's time.
They're like donuts coming out of the roller at the Krispy Kreme. They got to be fresh. Can't just have them waiting. It's just sitting out there, right?
Trying to find topical ones.
Yeah. Fresh cakes.
Don't enable him. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Back on the program, have you seen this Jonathan Kongbo article that's going around today from The Athletic? Have people been talking about it?
I don't know. I haven't heard anyone talk today until we talked. You're the first person I talk to every day.
Fair enough. Well, Kongbo did a big sit down with David Ubin.
Oh.
So far, I'm about halfway through it. It's I don't want to say pretty telling because it's a lot of stuff that we knew, but it's kind of insightful with Kongbo.
Is it subscription based?
It is, but I'll let you read my subscription if you want to read it.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'd rather read things that are written for everyone to read.
I disagree with that. I'm okay with the subscription.
Just because
model.
It's behind a paywall doesn't make it better content. There's a lot of great writers out there that are doing pieces just as good.
I mean, I don't disagree with that either.
That's not a shot at David Ubin.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't think anybody takes it a shot. I mean, I enjoyed reading it. I wasn't telling you it was better because it was behind a paywall. I was just going to say you could read it.
I don't want to read it because it's behind a paywall.
Oh, so you're just
that
like,
makes me not want to read it.
Oh, so you're like boycotting it now.
I guess, in a way. I just like reading things that are free. That's why I don't read the Sentinel anymore. Because they banned me from viewing their articles.
Okay.
After I reach a certain limit.
You pay for cable.
Well, yeah, but that's entertaining. And no, I don't, actually. That's
you pay for YouTube TV.
YouTube TV. But yeah, that's entertaining. That's something I can visually see. If I wanted to read, I'd get a book.
You usually have to pay for a book, too.
Now, that's a good point. But it usually has an interesting story in it.
I'm interested in some of this stuff Kongbo's saying. I don't know. It's nothing groundbreaking, like I said. It doesn't paint Butch Jones in a good light, which is nothing new.
Surprising.
It's the same thing about, hey, we believe Pruitt. Pruitt's doing it differently. Fulmer's doing it differently. A lot of that stuff.
So
but
Kongbo,
it's candid from Kongbo.
So Kongbo's pro-Pruitt and pro-Fulmer?
He's not anti-Butch. He says he respects Butch, but he just said Butch was a player's coach and that they only met twice during the offseason. That might be a revelation. Was like they
well,
only
do you call him a player's coach if you only talk to him twice in a whole season?
Well, basically, he's a player's coach because he let the players do whatever he wanted. Like, it was all about the players could do whatever they wanted, but he's just like the rest of the football stuff wasn't very good, is what Kongbo said.
Is it surprising that they were as good as they were?
No, I think they had a lot of good talent. Like, I think Josh Dobbs was really, really good. I think Derek Barnett was really, really good. Obviously, we know Alvin Kamara was really, really good.
Did Butch just bring in a bunch of guys who were individuals that were really good?
Yeah, I think so. I think you had enough top-end talent at good positions to beat teams that you were supposed to beat for the most part.
That was one of Butch's words he always used, individuals.
He brought in a lot of individuals. I mean, like I said, so some of the stuff with Kongbo is interesting, like where he says, like, hey, Butch was – again, it just kind of confirms everything that we kind of thought, which was Butch was more worried about things inside the locker room, like, hey, we need new TVs. Hey, we need new smoothie machines. We need to do this. We need to do that. Instead of being like, hey, we need to win games, is what Kongbo said.
Butch would probably be a pretty cool dad.
I could see that.
If Butch was your dad, he'd probably be kind of a cool dad, I think.
I mean, sure, Cody. If you say so.
I mean, I he'd probably let you have some freedom, let you kind of.
Might get new TVs.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what Butch was doing. He was getting the new TVs in the locker room and then taking the old ones that they just replaced home. All of a sudden, Butch had like 15 TVs in his man cave.
Butch would be the cool dad, but maybe not the best dad, you know? Pruitt probably teaches you more like life lessons, mm-hmm. things like that. I don't know why I'm comparing football coaches to being a father. Dooley probably the best one overall.
Absolutely not.
You don't think so?
No. Although I didn't really listen to what you were saying as you were trying to talk about Butch Jones being a dad. That I don't know. Felt like that was kind of weird.
Perhaps a little.
Yeah. Anyways, just Kongbo talked and he said a couple interesting things. He said he wants everybody to know he gave it his all and that it didn't work out, but it wasn't because he wasn't trying type of thing. I don't know. It was all right.
You never really have a guy. You ever notice you never have a guy who doesn't come out and, like, you read that article and you say he's, talking about Pruitt and how things are different and stuff. You always expect that, though, that they're going to be, like, pro new coach.
You're waiting for the article to come out and be like, yeah, not much has changed.
Well, I'm just waiting for actually, a guy to be
guys,
like.
You thought Butch Jones was bad? You should see what that idiot Jeremy Pruitt's doing over there.
Like, imagine if we had an article like that. If Kongbo came out and he's like, I really thought Butch was doing things much better.
We used to meet three times a week.
This is a total train wreck now.
We used to meet three times a week. Now we're down to one. I don't know what's going on.
Under Butch, we got fat white girls all the time. We're not hardly getting any with Pruitt. It's really not working out like I had hoped.
Sure. It's always the fluff propaganda. You're right. Everything's always better than it was.
Yeah, until it's not. And then you bring in the new coach, and then we restart the whole process again.
Oh, it's so different.
Oh, things are different. Still no better, but different.
Let's get back to Rick Barnes.
I was kind of enjoying talking football.
We can keep talking football. Do you want to talk football?
No, let's talk about Rick Barnes.
I mean, we can look around the rest of we can talk about the orange and white game. We haven't talked about it.
I think we're past that.
Dan Mullen trolling. Jim Harbaugh getting trolled. Tate Martell sucking in Miami. We got some storylines in college football.
I think the less that we talk about college football, the better. I think
Santa Claus, the sooner he'll come.
I think it's making me be more excited for college football this year than I was last year, if we don't talk about it. You know what I mean?
Okay. Well, then do you want to talk about
Rick Barnes?
I mean, do we have anything else to talk about with this? Because I've seen a lot of people comparing it to just a regular job, right? Hey, if you had an opportunity to go somewhere and make more money with your employer, you would do it too. Right? Like, I've seen a lot of people. You've seen some people go the relationship route. Cheating spouse wanting to leave.
So tired of that narrative. We need to just start talking about dads. Rick Barnes is probably the best dad out of all these guys. Pearl would have been a cool dad. He'd be like Butch.
You've seen people talk about, relationships, and you've seen people say, well, let's talk about, would you go? Would you go for a better job opportunity for a job you wanted? Would you do that? Would you get a raise? Do you work for free? You've seen a lot of that. And I think they're missing the comparison. To me, it's bigger than a relationship. It's different than a relationship. that's weird to make it like that.
Yeah, everybody makes that comparison. Like,
and I think you're really missing the point if you're making it about just a regular job opportunity. I think the head basketball coach at Knoxville is bigger than just a regular job. Like, is that not fair to say that you can't just say, hey, a guy wants to have a better work situation. A guy wants to go for his dream job. We would do that if we were in the same boat. We would change companies. We don't have any loyalty to our jobs.
It's not really the same as being the assistant manager at the CVS and finding a store manager job at Walgreens and jumping ship. It's just a little different.
Exactly. It's not you working at your accounting firm and getting a different position at another accounting firm. It's not that. To me, it's a bigger title. It's whenever you're the head basketball coach at a place like Tennessee, whenever you're in Knoxville, whenever you have, I mean, quite frankly, look, whenever you've kind of sold yourself as we're doing it the right way, whenever you've recruited people and you've talked about family in the locker room, like that's the problem with me is like, you know, what about the kids?
The children.
What about the players? What about the recruits? Like,
got to think about the children.
Can you still sell yourself as a family whenever you were? I mean, you were ready to dip. Like, do you think Lamonte looks around and Jordan Bowden look around and is that family talk still going to hit the same way? Maybe it will. Maybe that's looking at it the wrong way too. I don't know, but I equate it to a big time $1 million business. Basically saying, hey, we're going to close our doors here. We are going to move our company across the country. We would rather be in this area of the country. We are going to suck money out of your local economy. We are going to turn our backs on the people, and we are going to pack up shop and leave.
But we'll leave you with a Kmart.
Yeah, but don't worry. There's another store you can shop at right over there. I mean, if a business did that, if you want to follow that same analogy of talking, you know, well, it's business. If a business owner did that and then came out and say, yeah, we couldn't actually get the tax break we wanted in the other country or in the other state, so yeah, we'll stay here. Would we respond well to that? Now, maybe if the product was good, right? Maybe if they were making the best product around and it was good, it would still keep rolling and people would keep, you know, patronizing it. Kind of the same way that you said, Cody, if the coach wins, we're going to be happy.
Everything, if you put it in those terms of a business leaving town, everything would stay just the same with that. Like if you see a story come out in the paper or whatever that says so-and-so business was going to leave town, but they couldn't get a tax break, so they're staying in town. I don't think that's going to hurt their business in town.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
You don't think if a East Tennessean, or not even East Tennessean, but someone moved here and started a business and...
Can you give me an example?
And the community really supported the business.
Like a specific, not specific business, but like a donut shop or something?
Alumni Hall.
All right.
They sold. They came here, they sold you on that, and they started in Tennessee.
They have stores in other SEC
towns. They have stores in other SEC towns, but they're a Knoxville company. You know, the guy who started it's from Athens. Like, he owned Goodies at Athens. Like, I mean, he's an East Tennessean.
He's really made a name for himself.
Yeah.
Go from Goodies to Alumni Hall.
Yeah.
That's a step up.
I mean, same family. I don't know if it's actually the same guy, but same family. Like, the same.
Is his last name Goody?
Good friend, I believe is the last name. But.
Wait, you're saying that the Goodies brand is from that family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From Athens, Tennessee?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
I mean, you're making me question it a little bit. But
Goodies is a big...
I'm 99% sure, but like I said, you're making me a little nervous right now.
Goodies is a big brand.
I'm 99% sure it was Bob Goodfriend.
Because there was a Goodies in Arkansas where I grew up.
Yeah. I'm 99% sure it was Bob Goodfriend from Athens, Tennessee.
You're saying that came all the way from Athens, Tennessee to where I grew up.
Yep. My friend's dad plays golf with Bob Goodfriend.
They sponsored a NASCAR race. I mean, that's a big-time company.
Like I said, I'm 99% sure on this. Wow. You're making me question it a little bit.
Ben, thumbs up from Ben and Parker, so it's confirmed at this point.
But if, like, you know, if a business like that was all of a sudden like, yeah, we're going to move, we're going to get out of Tennessee, we're going to go somewhere else where it's a little bit better for us, a little bit better, not much better. We're going to go for a quarter of a percent tax break, which maybe is a huge deal with big businesses like that. I don't know. But a very small tax break, and then it stays, it falls through, and you're like, hey, actually, we're going to stay here. We couldn't get that tax break. Love you. Shop here. I feel like if the quality started going down, you'd really you'd be willing to jump ship on that.
If it was a local business that's always been true to Knoxville.
Now, again, that's where the comparison falls apart a little bit because Rick Barnes is in East Tennessee, and I understand that, but.
Like Petros, that could be another one. Like
sure.
If they just decided, we don't want to be here anymore, we're going to go sell our chili Frito pies in Memphis.
Sure. What I'm saying is that if a business was ready to pack up and leave and all of a sudden it fell through, and basically it fell through because of a tax break, the moment the quality started slipping, you're going to find a new business to go to.
I don't think I would care at all.
No?
If a business was trying to leave here to go to a different place, and I saw an article that said they could have gotten a better tax break, but they couldn't get it, so they decided to stay here, I don't think I would care whatsoever. I would still...
Even if it was an East Tennessee business that, you know, was getting ready, like I said, suck money out of your economy, because, I mean, that was the big part of everyone wanting to keep Barnes, right?
I would not care about that at all.
I feel like people wanted to keep Barnes because everyone looked around and said, hey, if Barnes leaves, who the hell are you going to hire? What's going to happen? Who are you going to hire back? You're going to go bargain bin? If the basketball team's bad, and we already talked about the football team hasn't won more than 8 games since 2007. Only won 8 games twice. If the basketball team goes back to being bad, it would be pretty bleak around here, right?
We'd have to find new activities to enjoy.
What I'm saying is I think that the title of head basketball coach, the way that Tennessee basketball has been revitalized, to me it's just bigger than saying, you would look for another job if you were in the same situation. To me it's bigger. To me it's about community. It's about family. It's about a city.
It's just a different situation.
I just don't think it works with those comparisons. You say it wouldn't be affected to you if a business all of a sudden said, hey, I'm going to pack up and move. Oh, wait, it fell through.
I wouldn't care about that. No.
I think the community would have hurt feelings. I think the community would have hurt feelings. Like I said, especially if the quality started slipping.
Which is what's going to happen in basketball this year.
Right. And then all of a sudden you're not getting that 5-star meal. You're getting a 3.5-star meal. And you're like, now it's a little overpriced. And they don't really care about us. I would support this mom and pop restaurant, but... they don't care about us. They wanted to move, and they just couldn't. Now the quality's not as good. Why am I still going to eat here and be happy about it? I'm going to go somewhere else and eat.
Well, really, to me, though, that comes down to nothing but the quality.
You're 100% right.
Now, but you can throw all the other things in there, too. Like, they were going to leave town. They don't care about us. I don't care about that so much.
I don't know.
But if the quality slips.
It's weird. There was a place like this in Sweetwater growing up. Or Niota, actually. Even smaller. Niota. It was called the Sugar Shack.
Sounds like a good place.
It was. We loved the Sugar Shack.
They have, like, milkshakes and stuff, probably.
Nope. I don't think they had milkshake. It was basically...
ice cream.
No. It sounds
cakes.
Like... No. It was a diner. I would go there and we'd eat biscuits and gravy. And, yeah, we'd eat, like, sausage biscuits on the way to school, before work, whatever. Like,
donuts.
Basically... No donuts. They went with the sugar name. I think it was more of the kiss sugar, like, come here, let grandma kiss you, that kind of sugar shack.
It's kind of creepy.
But we went there.
Grandma's tongue kisses. Come eat here.
We went there, and about the time I turned 14 or 15, the old lady who owned it started getting older, and the food wasn't as good.
Oh, that's sad.
But the quality went down, and my dad's like, still got to support it.
Yeah.
Still got to support it. I love her.
It was local.
It's basically like, I love her. She's a good woman.
Right.
We, you know, she's been good to us. She loves you. We're going to keep eating there. Then all of a sudden, she sold it.
Son, I know there's hair in the hash browns. You deal with it.
It wasn't that bad, but it just didn't hit the same.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden she sold it, and my dad said, we don't have to go to the Sugar Shack anymore. New ownership. Margaret's not there anymore. We don't have to go. There was no loyal tie to it anymore, so we have to put up with the quality. I feel like the quality is slipping. I do think that this relates, because I do think that despite Ethan texting in saying that he thinks the team's going to be better next year, I don't think so. If you follow Jordan Bone on social media, here, I don't know if this is breaking news, if this is rumors or what, but Jordan Bone on social media ain't been going to class. Jordan Bone's cleaned out everything from Knoxville. Jordan Bone ain't coming back to school.
No, and neither is Grant Williams. There's no need to even hold out for that.
And I am 90, like, you know, we've been doing our percentages. I'm 90% sure that Grant Williams is staying in the NBA draft. So you're going to lose Jordan Bone, Grant Williams, and Admiral Schofield. You ain't getting better next year.
And Big Kyle.
Stop it. You're living in fantasy land. You're the same people who said that the 2017 football team might actually be better because Quentin Dormady can pass and Josh Dobbs couldn't pass. How'd that work out for you?
Poorly.
Not well. It didn't work out well. If you're kidding yourself thinking that this team's actually going to be better next year, you're wrong. Even if Grant Williams stays, they're not going to be better next year. And I don't think Grant Williams is staying. Unless you go out and you get all of these grad transfers that you need, like say you go out and you get the Blackshear kid from Virginia Tech and Grant comes back and Bone comes back, sure, maybe you could be better then. I don't think that's happening.
And you'd still have to get all those guys to gel together.
Sure.
Different team.
So I think we all have to acknowledge that the quality here is going to slip. All of a sudden, the biscuits and gravy ain't going to be quite as good.
Your comparison works. Rick Barnes, I think, with what he did yesterday, has lost the "we'll give you some time" thing. Mark Richt at Georgia is always the example I use.
Mm-hmm.
They let him stay for too long. Kind of like your dad and you still going to see Margaret just because there was loyalty. She'd been there a long time. She'd given you a lot of good food. It was kind of like Mark Richt at Georgia. They gave him way too long because he had earned it. He had earned longevity there.
Sure.
You don't necessarily get that. You don't get year 6, year 7, year 8 if you're not.
It's just, I mean, did Rick Barnes not just come out yesterday and basically say this is just another job?
Yeah. That's essentially what happened. And if you lose the people, you get less time, less benefit of the doubt.
I mean, we can all acknowledge that, right? That Rick Barnes, in his heart, was ready to leave.
Before this UCLA thing happened, Rick Barnes would have gotten a ton of benefit of the doubt.
If you would have asked anybody in Knoxville, they all would have said, hey, Rick Barnes is going to retire here. That's our coach, for better or worse. He's a good man. He's got his stable. He's doing it the right way. The moment he comes out and says, hey, well, actually, I wanted to go to UCLA. To me, that squashes a lot of goodwill. You're basically saying, Tennessee paid us a lot of money. We stayed. Tennessee made the money work because, you know, God told him to stay, but he still took that extra, you know, $1.5 million from Philip Fulmer, right?
Yeah.
Like, God was like, hey, you need to be in Knoxville, but Rick's like, hey, I still need that extra $1.5 million.
It ain't about God telling him to stay.
The Lord will get 10%, so he kind of thinks that I need this too because I'm going to give 10% to the church. My preacher really thinks that you should go ahead and give me that $1.5 million raise because preacher's kind of counting on that extra $150,000.
It's about the damn check, and you got to be able to see that.
And it's okay. If that's the case.
Of course it is.
If that's the case, get your money, Rick Barnes. I have no problem. I said 2 weeks ago that, hey, if Rick Barnes was to be the third highest paid coach in basketball because he has an ego, good for him. He should give a middle finger or at least a wink, because good Christian men don't give middle fingers. Maybe give a sarcastic wink to Texas as he gets paid. You fired me, now look. I'm okay with that. I have no problem with it. And I have no problem with the more I thought about it, if he actually thinks that God gave him a sign to stay, I'm not going to judge that. Whatever. Cody seems like he's still got his antennas up, not
it's
buying it.
Because I don't think he's really. I think it's all about the money.
I'm just going to say I'm not going to argue with Rick Barnes on what his faith tells him. Enough people responded to me that said they agree that God can send you messages through closing doors, through the job falling through. I'm not going to argue about that. That's not how I was raised, but whatever. Like, I learned and I took what people said and I changed my opinion a little bit about it. I don't even care what Rick Barnes said. That's fine. But what I do question now is what happens next. Because if you start losing, you're no longer Grandpa Rick. You are the third highest paid coach in college basketball. You should give us those type of results. Maybe you can keep it rolling and maybe things are going to be fine next year. Maybe you're that good. Maybe you're revitalized. Maybe Josiah James isn't Robert Hubbs. Maybe he's not. Was there another five-star we missed that, or another five-star that wasn't that good? I didn't want to completely single out Robert Hubbs. Give me another five-star that wasn't that good here in basketball.
Scotty Hobson.
Scotty was at least all SEC, but it took him 3 years.
Wasn't Woolridge like a four or five-star?
Woolridge was a four-star. Sure.
Ramar Smith.
Love Ramar Smith. Huge Ramar Smith fan. He lived up to the hype here.
Excellent player.
Maybe the best point guard we've ever had if you really break it down. You said Jordan Bone was, but I've always been a Ramar Smith guy. Myself. Love Ramar. But all of a sudden, if this team doesn't win and you are looking around saying, hey, we're paying you top three money, coach. We need you to step it up. I have no problem if all of a sudden fans look around and say Rick Barnes is a hired mercenary. That's the phrase that keeps getting thrown around. He's just another high-paid coach who wants to make a lot of money. That's fine. We want you to produce like a top-paid coach.
He's never going to. He's not worth that much money. He's not going to get us to the Final Four. But maybe he is worth paying that if you can keep that consistency of having a good program. And to me, that's got to be more what Fulmer's thinking. We can at least keep it consistent. Maybe we do get bounced in the Sweet 16 every year. But for now, that's good enough.
Look, it's just like the NFL quarterback situations where the next guy up gets paid. And Russell Wilson becomes the highest paid quarterback in the league because Russell Wilson was the guy that you couldn't afford to lose if you're Seattle. Just like the Titans are going to mess up this offseason or this upcoming offseason next year and pay Marcus Mariota big money because you can't really afford to let your franchise quarterbacks go. Tennessee couldn't really afford to let Rick Barnes go.
They could have, but they would have had to have taken a chance on a new coach and who knows what you're going to get. But then again, maybe you find yourself in that situation anyway 3 years down the road. Maybe 3 years down the road, we got one tournament appearance. Barnes still hasn't produced. And then you're going to fire him anyway and take a chance on a new coach. So
I look at it as Margaret from the Sugar Shack. She was tall and lanky too, just like Rick. You basically sold the business yesterday, as far as I'm concerned. If the food's still good, I'll keep coming. And we will praise you, but I think you gave a lot of people the pass to quit judging you through the lens of retired old man who's given us stability because you almost left us unstable at a moment where you really would have undone all the work you could have done.
And you said you wanted to.
Yeah, you wanted to. If you felt like you didn't get a message from God in the way of a $5 million buyout, you would have been gone. And all that stability talk would have gone out the window. Tennessee would have had a couple good players, but they really would have been back to square one. Maybe I'll give you square two. Maybe you're past square one. Maybe you're at square two. But you'd have been in trouble.
Barnes lost the benefit of the doubt yesterday.
John Fulkerson,
that's what happened.
John Fulkerson would have looked a lot like Derek Reese out there next year, as far as I'm concerned. Those resemblances wouldn't have been in skin tone. Or in the face, but I would have felt a lot like John Fulkerson was Derek Reese as he's out there trying to play center in the SEC as a starting center. When you look around, there's not much talent around him. Is that fair to say? Now we're just strictly judging on quality, all that feel good stuff.
I kind of like it better that way, anyway. Kind of glad all that's gone out the door.
Yeah, because you felt guilty. You felt bad bashing Barnes. You felt bad looking around and saying, man, really should have got out of the Sweet 16, and everyone came back with, yeah, but they did it the right way.
Now we can all just judge it on quality. I kind of prefer that. I prefer that.
Maybe you're right. Maybe it's better just to say, hey,
forget all that feel-good grandpa stuff.
Wins, wins, wins.
Because he doesn't care about you like that.
He doesn't.
So why care about him like that?
Seems like he made that clear yesterday.
Good. He's just another guy, another coach.
Good talk. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Let's go to the phone lines, 865-546-8200 if you want to get next. We will squeeze you in this hour. Let's go. Let's get Troy. What's up, Troy? The floor is yours.
Hey, guys. What's up?
I was doing a radio show. What about you?
Yeah. Hey, I'm out traveling today. So yesterday and today I've just done nothing but absorb all the stuff going on with the story. And I will tell you, I think something that, and if somebody's brought this up, then I apologize, but something that really irks me, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it, is that this man has got a serious character flaw in that he cannot admit he ever does anything wrong. There's always an excuse. You know, he underperforms in the regular season because he does not spend those 30-point blowouts developing the bench. It's somebody, it's the player's fault. It's somebody's fault. He almost gets beat by a team named after a toothpaste, and it's a player's fault. He goes against Iowa. He's got a 100-point lead. He goes in at halftime. He makes some really poor judgments, slows the team down, almost gets beat, and it's the player's fault in the press conference. He goes up against Purdue. He does get beat, and it's LT's fault for fouling the player. It's never his fault. And now, because God told him something, when they barely make the tournament next year and they're eliminated on the first day, it's going to be God's fault because God told him to stay. How is this guy ever going to get better? He's a subpar in-game coach. That's a fact. That's not debatable. How is he ever going to get better if he can't admit he's wrong and that he makes mistakes?
Well, Troy, that's a pretty good phone call. Pretty good phone call, Troy. Sounds like Troy's out on Barnes.
Yeah, I think I am.
Hello?
Yeah, we can't. Well, I think we had. You still there, Troy? Troy!
Yeah,
Troy's in a spaceship.
Troy, I said it was a good phone call.
Troy,
I said it sounds like you're out on Barnes. Can you hear me? Over. Troy, over. Troy's call. Over.
Troy. I think Troy just got sucked into one of those black holes.
Just to explain myself a little bit, that was what I had in mind when we went with the shot clock. Troy's length of his call wasn't an issue. I thought he made some really good points. I thought he kept it 45 seconds or so.
I'd say best call of the week.
But it just doesn't leave the room for the weird back and forth where he doesn't know if he's still on. We have to talk. Make your point. Get out. Great phone call by Troy. Ben, you should have just pulled it down.
Troy has become a Tennessee fan since moving here from Ohio
a couple years ago. I think it's our fault.
Oh, it's 100% our fault.
It's our fault. We have invited him from a life of comfort as an Ohio State fan, and we have made Troy so mad that he will still He held on hold for about 20 minutes as he's obviously driving through a wind tunnel
or
locked up
hole.
In a dungeon somewhere.
Just like the rest of us as fans, locked up in a purgatory.
Locked up in a dungeon. But he still had to get his takeoff. He's officially became a Tennessee fan. So congratulations to Troy. Way to sign up for a max of 7 football wins and a maybe you'll make the second weekend and lose in the Sweet 16. Fantastic.
That's pretty much where we cap it off here in East Tennessee.
Now, I'm not going to say Troy is anywhere near to the majority. I do still think he's in the minority because Troy sounded really mad
I don't think he likes Barnes.
He sounded really mad about it. I don't think he's in the majority. I do think he is probably about 10% of the fan base. But I don't disagree with a lot of his takes there.
You think it's only 10% of the fan base that feels that way?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people are mad, but no one's out. No one is saying, hey, you don't hold yourself accountable. You blame everyone else.
So do you think Barnes is still beloved?
Well, no. I'm not going to say he's beloved. I think that I would say right now 25% of people will ride to the death with Rick Barnes.
When we were 23-1, what was the percentage of the fan base that loved Rick Barnes?
90%.
What do you think that's at now?
25%.
That love him?
Yep.
Now, some people would say that we live in a Twitter world.
Let me say that. There's probably the older people, the Facebook crowd, the people who aren't as plugged into his comments, probably, although they're probably still disappointed with the Sweet 16 loss.
They're still disappointed we got rid of Butch.
Let's go with 40% still love Rick Barnes. Let's go with 40% still love Rick Barnes. I'll say that now 30% of people are in the, well, you better win. You better win, big boy. It's go time.
I think 40% is low.
You think 40% that actually like love him? Not okay, let's try this again. 40% love him, 20% like him. 30% of people say, hey, I still like you, but you better win. And then 25% are just out or don't care.
Did that add up to 100?
Yeah.
Okay.
It did. Trust me.
Close enough. I think that was like 115%, but never mind. I know what you meant. And I agree, I think. I just think maybe we were underestimating the Facebook crowd.
Right, 40%.
Facebook crowd always going to love the coach.
Sure, but I do think it's a drastic decline between what happened this offseason and the way your season ended.
We could
getting dog walked by Auburn, followed by two close wins against Colgate and Iowa, and you not being able to close the deal against Purdue after a really terrible first half where you didn't look like you knew how to coach,
and you really about blew it against Iowa.
Yeah.
But we could be in year 9 with no more tournament appearances, and the Facebook crowd would still be supporting him.
Sure.
So, sure. Twitter probably does skew negative, but Facebook is way too sheepy.
40% is fair. So, 40% love him, 20% still like him, 30% say, hey, it's we don't have any negative feelings about you, coach, but you better produce. And then I would say 15% are in the don't like Rick Barnes anymore, and then 10% don't care.
And that adds up.
Hour 2 in the books, hour 3 on deck. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.